Isaiah 43. But now this is what the Lord says, He who created you, Jacob, He who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. And then we'll jump down to verse 5. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east, gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar, and my daughters from the ends of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Why am I here on earth? Does anybody know the meaning of life, the purpose for life? Throughout many centuries, smart people have tried to answer this question. What is the meaning? What is the purpose to our life? But no one really came up with a satisfactory answer. No one really was able to figure out the purpose or the meaning for our life here on earth. Now, some say that our purpose is to realize our potential, you know, self-improvement or self-actualization. But the purpose of our life is far greater than our own personal fulfillment. Some say the purpose of life is just to be happy, but our purpose is much greater than our personal happiness. Some say the purpose is to realize your dream by, you know, believing in yourself and working hard. But the purpose in life is much, much greater than our wildest dreams. Being successful or achieving your dreams are not same as fulfilling the purpose of your life. You can achieve your dreams and yet miss God's purpose for you. Human beings have failed to find the purpose in life because we have been looking in the wrong place, ourselves. Human beings have failed because we ask very self-centered questions. What do I want to be? What should I do with my life? My dreams, my purpose, my ambitions, my goals for my future. But focusing on ourselves will never reveal our purpose in life. So we have to start at a different place. We have to start with God, not with ourselves, but with God. We start with God because God is our creator. God is the one who made us and formed us. This is what the Lord says, He who created you, Jacob, He who formed you, Israel. It is only in God that we discover our origin, our purpose, our significance, and our destiny. For centuries, people have thought that the earth is the center of the universe, and people thought that the sun and all the other planets revolved around the earth. But then, you know, as we know, the famous Polish scientist Nicholas Copernicus, he comes along and he says, well, you know, according to my observation, that's not the case. That's not the truth. He realized that it is the sun that is at the center of the solar system, and the earth and all the other planets are revolving around the sun. But despite the truth, many people in his time, they just could not believe. They had a hard time believing that the center is not the earth. And spiritually speaking, many people, even in the 21st century, are still living in the dark ages. Because for many people, they are the center of the universe. We think, oh, I am the center. And everything, everyone around me, you know, it revolves around me. Even God revolves around me. Many people think that they are the center of the universe. And they ask very self-centered questions. What should I do with my life, with my goals? But the spiritual truth is that God is the center. And we are the ones revolving around God. God does not exist for us. No, we exist for God. Bring my sons and my daughters from the ends of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. We did not make God for our purpose, but God made us for his purpose. And people have a hard time believing that truth. And people still insist, no, I am the center. Not God, not anybody. I am the center. And since God made us, God is the one who knows why we were made. Without God, we are nothing but accidents. Without God, there really is no meaning. There is no purpose in life. And many scientists, they work under the assumption that there is no God, and they try to explain the emergence of life through their scientific theories, which might be, the Big Bang theory is not, you know, you can't really experiment, you know, go back in time and experiment. So it's a theory. Big Bang theory states that life came out of inorganic matters by pure chance. Somehow the gases and the proteins mixed up and they formed some kind of a life. But that chance is against mathematical probability. A scientist named Edwin Grant Conklin, who was a professor of biology at Princeton University, this was back in the 1930s, 40s, and 50s. He supported and he spread the theory of evolution. So he was, you know, he believed in evolution. He thought that was, you know, scientific. And yet he was a firm believer in creation. He didn't think that creation and evolution were in conflict. And according to Conklin, he says, the probability of life originating from accident is comparable to the probability of unabridged dictionary resulting from an explosion in a printing factory. So it's basically saying that there's no chance, no way. That's a myth. That's not scientific. That's not mathematical. There is no chance. There's no chance that life can come out of inorganic matters. Just one little tiny cell is as complex as a city. And life can only come out of life. Life was created by the supernatural power of the living God. And when it comes to God's purpose, God does not leave anything to chance. God chose you, and God chose your parents. God chose your nationality. God chose where you would be born, what color of eyes you would have, how long you would live on earth. The Bible says our days are numbered. God knows exactly how many days we will live on this earth. And, you know, the Bible even says that God, you know, counts all the number of our hairs. And God probably knows, you know, how many hair fall off these days. your parents may not have planned you, but God did. And God saw you before you were even born. God formed you with his own hands. So we are not here by accident. Paul says that we are God's masterpiece made for good works. And, you know, some people wonder, why would God bother to make human beings? Was God just bored? Did God really need human beings? Well, no, God was not bored. God did not need us. The Bible says that God is three persons and yet one God. That tells us that God is a relational being, that God is a perfect community. God was already happy and satisfied in the community. God did not need anything else. God was very happy with himself. God is a happy God. He's not a, you know, grumpy God. God made us just because God wanted to share that happiness, that abundant life within the Trinity. And the perfect union, in that relationship between the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, there is perfect union, perfect love, perfect happiness, bliss, just a great community. And God wanted to share that life, that joy, that love with others. And that's why he made us, because God wanted to share, you know, what God had in Trinity with other people. So under that umbrella of our life with God, there are five purposes, and they're, you know, of course, based on the Bible. First purpose is that we were made for God to be loved by God and to love God. You know, we were made for a relationship with God. That is our first purpose, and that is good news, that God loves us. And second purpose is that we were formed for God's family. We were meant to have relationship with other people, to love others, and to be loved by other human beings. And third, we were made to become like Christ. We were made to resemble the characters of Jesus Christ. And fourth, we were shaped for serving God. We weren't, you know, made to serve our own desires, but we were made to serve God's purpose. And fifth, we were made for a mission. There is a reason why God placed here on earth. So we will cover each of these five purposes in the next 5 weeks, but today we will just consider one question, and that is, what drives your life? What drives you to get up each day in the morning and you know, enable you to live? Everyone's life is driven by something, and here are just a few examples. Some people are driven by guilt. You know, they're just overwhelmed. They're burdened by the past guilt, and they try to hide from their shame. And guilt-driven people, they allow their past to control their future. And they punish themselves unconsciously by sabotaging their own success. And in the Bible, when Cain killed Abel, he was disconnected from God and disconnected from others. And he lived a restless life as a wanderer on earth. And some people, even now, they just wander about life without a goal, without a purpose. Some people are driven by resentment or anger. They hold on to past hurts and they never let it go. Instead of releasing their pain through forgiveness, they rehearse the past offense over and over again. And they, you know, some people, they bury their anger deep inside and they just you know, press it down and down, while others, they explode and they kind of blow up on other people. And both are not healthy responses. And others are driven by fear. Fear-driven people, they often miss good opportunities because they are afraid to venture out, try something new. Instead, they play it safe. They avoid risks and they want to maintain the status quo. Fear can keep us from becoming what God intended for us to be. Others are driven by material success or materialism. The desire to gain more and more becomes the goal of your life. And people think that by having more, you can have happiness, that you can have a sense of importance and security. But we know that wealth cannot bring happiness or importance or guarantee our security. Wealth can be lost through many uncontrollable factors. And we can be happy, important, and secure only when we know that we are deeply loved by our Creator. And others are driven by a need for approval. They allow the expectations of others to control their life. Many adults are still living to earn the approval of their tiger mom, tiger dads, you know, who never seem to be satisfied with the child's performance. Others are driven by peer pressure, always worrying about what other people are thinking of me. And it's not possible, you know, as we know, to please everyone. And if we allow others to control us, then we are likely to miss God's purpose for our life. And of course, there are many other forces that can drive one's life, but they all lead to frustration and unfulfilled life. But when we are driven by God's purpose, that's when we can live a truly fulfilled life. And Rick Warren gives us five benefits of living according to God's purpose. And I think we have the slide for that, benefits. First, knowing God's purpose gives you a meaning in life. German philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche, he said, "He who has why to live can all bear almost any how." When life has meaning, people can bear almost any difficulties. But without meaning, people cannot bear anything. Without God, life has no purpose, no meaning, no significance, no hope. But with God, life does have a purpose and a meaning. Second, he says, knowing God's purpose brings a certain focus in your life. And we see the power of focus when we look at light. When light rays are diffused, it has little impact. But when the light rays are focused by a magnifying glass, we see light burning a paper or burning even the grass. And when lights are focused even more, it becomes a laser beam and it can even cut through steel. That is the power of focus. When you know your purpose, you can concentrate your effort to do what's essential, what's important. In life, we tend to get distracted by many minor issues, and without a clear purpose, we keep changing our directions. We keep changing our jobs or relationships. We even churches, hoping that each change will bring more satisfaction. And there's nothing as powerful as focused life. And Apostle Paul is a good example. He says in Acts 20, "My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace." He had a very clear purpose of his life. And similarly, Billy Graham, we know the famous evangelist, Billy Graham, when he was asked what his purpose was, he said, "My purpose in life is to help people develop personal relationship with Jesus Christ." He also had a very focused goal in his life. And that is why people like Paul and Billy Graham had great impact, because their lives were so focused on God's purpose. And third benefit is knowing God's purpose can simplify your life. The purpose defines what you do and what you don't do. It becomes a standard to evaluate all your activities, and you can determine what's essential and what are not essential. Without that purpose, we have no foundation upon which to base our decisions, allocate our time, and use our resources. And instead, we are forced to make a decision upon an urgent demand or circumstances or even even our mood at the time. When you don't know your purpose, you try to do a lot of things. You try to do too much, and that can lead to stress, fatigue, conflict, and even a burnout. And we know it's not possible to do everything that people want you to do. We just have enough time to do God's will. Purpose-driven life will lead to a simpler lifestyle and a saner schedule. Fourth benefit, knowing your purpose gives you motivation. Purpose produces passion. Purpose gives motivation. Nothing energizes like a clear, focused purpose. On the other hand, passion dissipates when we lack a clear purpose. It is not overwork that wears people down, but meaningless work that robs people of joy. Lastly, knowing God's purpose can prepare us for eternity. Many people want to leave a legacy after they die on earth. They want to build a a building under their name. They want to donate a lot of money to the college or foundation under their name. Yet what matters most will not be what others say about you, but what God says. All achievements will be surpassed. Every record will be broken. Reputations will fade and tributes will be forgotten. Living just to leave a legacy on earth is short-sighted. A better use of our time is to build an eternal legacy. Apostle John says, "The world and its desires pass away, but those who do the will of God abides forever." We were not put on earth to be remembered. We are put on earth to be prepared for our eternity with God. And one day we will all stand before the throne of God. And we, each of us, will have to give an account of how we have lived. And God will ask just two questions. The first one, what did you do with my son, Jesus Christ? God will not ask us about, you know, our denominational religious backgrounds or our doctrinal views. He will ask, did you accept? Did you trust? Did you love? Did you follow my son, Jesus Christ? Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." Second question that God will ask of us is, what did you do with what I gave you? What did you do with what I gave you? God gave us gifts, talents, resources, time, relationships. God gave us everything that we have and enjoy. Did you spend them for yourself, or did you spend them for God's purpose? So we must be prepared to answer these two questions. What did you do with my son? What did you do with what I gave you? And if you're new to Christianity or new to church, you're kind of exploring, checking out Christianity, please continue to come to find out more about God's purpose for your life. Knowing God's purpose will change your life, and it will change your destiny. Let's pray.